Ow!
Ow! Buzz, 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 buzz.
I know what I'll do. I'll pollinate these flowers.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Hey, wait a minute.
Ow!
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Ow!
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Where's Steven?
Okay.
Yes, good. Leave it like that.
Oh, okay.
Somebody help me!
Oh! Excuse me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Ah! Get me down!
Cut! Cut! Ah! Cut!
Ah! Cut! Cut! Cut!
Ah! Oh, mother!
Jerry, problem with the scene?
Ooh. Steven, this isn't good. Nothing's working. It's like 150 degrees inside this head. All these props are garbage.
You know what E.T. was made out of?
What?
E.T. was made out of brown Play-Doh and chicken wire.
I did not know that, Steven, and I'm thrilled for your success.
Thank you.
But I just don't think the audience is ever really going to believe I'm a bee.
All right, all right. Look, why don't you just make it a cartoon?
All right.
It's a cartoon!
Anybody know how to draw?
I do.
Oh, I should have been doing it like this to begin with. Now I'm ready for some acting. And flying! Stunts! Whoa! Scary stuff! I'd like to see Spielberg do that with chicken wire and Play-Doh. Huh.
Lucy, you like jazz?
I don't know about jazz. I like bees, though.
Bees. I got all bees. All right, welcome to Bad Movie Request Month on the Path, Brett and Lucy, joking our way around the worst movies that apparently y'all would want us to watch. We're here for Bee Movie.
We are. Yeah, this was a great idea when we came up with it, Bad Movie Request Month. We thought, how are we going to get through January? It'll be a lot of fun. We get people's input on what we can listen to, or sorry, watch, and then discuss on the podcast. And yeah, you guys have really nailed it so far, especially with, we did our Patreon episode yesterday on, I was about to say a different film. It's not that. It is Catwoman on the Patreon. That was crazy. And now B movies, a whole other level of bad movie.
Yeah, Catwoman was one of the worst movies. It's the worst movie we've done, like how it was made, incompetently made.
Yes. This was, in terms of movie making, yeah.
Yes, yeah. This was competently made, but as you can tell, I may mentally deteriorate again more than Catwoman may by the end of this, which we'll get into that. But this was, of course, requested by good listener, good patron as well, Hal. And this is his reasoning.
Hi, Brett and Lucy. It's Hal. And I am so excited you two are finally covering one of my favorite bad movies ever. There are so many reasons to love slash hate this movie. As I said in my request email, this is a movie about talking bees with Jerry Seinfeld, which results in the implication of a romantic relationship between a bee and a human, which Seinfeld later apologized for. Supposedly, this whole idea for a movie started out as a joke between Steven Spielberg and Seinfeld, and then Seinfeld allegedly used Spielberg's name to trick Chris Rock into starring in this awful film. This star-studded cast also includes the guy who plays Joe from Family Guy, doing pretty much the exact same voice. And I am so happy you two are covering it.
Well, as always, after we listen to these, a big fuck you to Hal for making us sit through this. No, thank you again for that. And yeah, I think it would be one thing, that'd be a good thing to listen to before watching this movie and having no idea, because so much of it, it's weird because, as mentioned there, a big part of this is like this bee wanting to instantly fuck this woman, and then this woman also instantly wanting to fuck the bee.
The vibe was so weird.
That vibe was so weird, but maybe because that's what I knew about the movie going into it, I was more, not offended, but I was more upset at so much that happened, so many of the puns, so much of the, and this is in quotes right now that only Lucy can see, the humor of this movie got me so much more than the anthropomorphic bee wanting to fuck a woman.
I tried to avoid any prior discussion to this film, but I had listened to Hal's voice note, obviously, about the bee-human somewhat romantic relationship. But other than that, I avoided any spoilers and, yeah, was just kind of surprised by the whole plot. And I couldn't decide, is this meant to be a kid's film? Who is this for? I wasn't quite sure because some of the jokes were really topical, I guess. And I was like, no child is going to understand, like, why is Sting here? No child is going to know who Sting is.
Sting, and they pulled poor Ray Liotta into it. No, that... Oh, yes. Okay, so this is one episode where we actually did watch the trailer and listen to it that y'all heard coming into this. That was the live... If you're confused by it, you know, join the club. That was the live-action one of Jerry Seinfeld in a bee costume yucking it up with Steven Spielberg. And yes, that Steven Spielberg, because this is a DreamWorks production, which was started by Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. So he obviously... like a big thing into it. And as Hal mentioned, apparently Seinfeld used Spielberg's name to get Chris Rock into this, but he will not be the most debasing. And we mentioned on that Catwoman episode, Oscar winner Halle Berry. I posited the question of, was it the Oscar winner debasing themselves the most? And I'm going to say it's this movie, even though it's only animated. I'm going to say it's this movie.
Which Oscar winner?
Renee Zellweger.
Oh my God, I totally forgot she's
by
an
the
Oscar
time
winner.
Of this movie, by the time of this movie in 2007, she was thrice nominated 3 years in a row and had won for Cold Mountain. As of today, 2024, she is a four-time Oscar nominee and a two-time winner because she won like 2 or 3 years ago for Judy.
I don't know what's worse, Patience Phillips or Vanessa Bloom.
Poor Halle Berry had to actually live act in front of dozens of crew. This is a sound booth where you can just kind of, and her face isn't there. So people might not, even though she has a really recognizable voice, I think so.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
You still might be a time where people are like, oh, who was that? You can't mistake Halle Berry in that stupid fucking dominatrix outfit.
I will never forget Halle Berry lying in bed eating like 5 cans of tuna.
Yeah.
Like that is there forever.
Dreadful, dreadful. So yes, patreon.com/onthepath, Catwoman, truly the worst movie. I cannot imagine us doing a worse movie. Although February might have some. Our February lineup for romance month may challenge.
Yeah,
a couple
we might
things.
Have a contender there. Yeah.
We may have continued bad movie month into February for Valentine's month, but check that out. Patreon.com/onthepath. Email us podonthepath@gmail.com. Questions, comments, suggestions, anything like that. Check out the Discord link below. Easy way to one, get our almost like me, almost a live viewing of it. As I say, I'm starting it and I start to slowly again lose my mind in real time in the Discord as well. Stick around to the end of this episode to learn about, or we'll say what we do next week. So yeah, every episode at the very end, we leave y'all with what we're going to cover next week. And we had to throw a little curveball into it. And maybe a returning guest on there. So yeah.
Yay. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
See that to the end. So what we're going to do now first, as always, is guest the gross. Maybe guess the gross. You're going to get.
That Lisa's, can be next week. We can do guest
the
gross.
We're going to guess the gross. Oh yeah. We'll do that again. It's like Percy Jackson. All right. It's time for Lucy to guess the gross. 2007 B movie, budgeted at, now put a helmet on, okay, because I'm about to blow your minds here. Budgeted at $150 million.
Oh, that animation, yo, it's so expensive.
But 2007, $150 million.
Oh God.
And this animation kind of sucks. There's no detail. We're so spoiled by Pixar. This is about the time when Pixar was almost bought by Disney. Because I remember Up might have been like one of the last, or maybe the first one when Disney bought it, but they weren't done by Disney. It was like purely when it was Pixar. This is around that time of that. And holy shit, the lack of detail in this was astonishing, especially when I see this fucking budget.
It is just basic, isn't it? Where's so the budget basic. Gone then? Renee Zellweger probably. Yeah, that's
and they
where
did,
it's gone.
I will say this though. They did put a lot of goddamn bees into it.
Oh, God, yeah.
There were a lot in there. I'll say that. So, okay, $150 million. What do you think B movie grossed?
I don't recall there being a sequel.
There definitely was not a B movie, too, but maybe sometimes you don't want to ruin perfection with a sequel.
True. You're right. You're right. But also, I did see during my research that there is a B movie game.
Was
and
there
really?
Oh, my God.
That's right. They couldn't just call it B game. because nobody would know what that was. So it has to be B-movie game. B-movie even though it's not game. A movie, it's a game. So they did do a game.
Real quick, what we need to start doing now is we need to start looking for the game tie-ins to these movies. And you need to stream, if we can do it, get an emulator or whatever. And you, yeah. we need to stream some of the game. The week
there's
of,
a Catwoman game, I'm sure, week, as
of
well.
Of course there is. And I know there's already a bad movie coming up in the future. A couple of them that have video game tie-ins. So mental note, 2024, we're bringing that in. But okay, what you got here for the guests?
I'm going to say it probably did okay, considering it's Steven Spielberg and it's an animation. I bet kids went crazy for a B-movie. I'm going to say like 200 mil.
All right, you should have gone with your first instinct because it was 293.5 million.
Oh, nearly a success then.
It nearly doubled its budget, I'm sure, with everything in there they could finagle some kind of losses to not pay people too much, but still make some money on it. To me, what I remember about this was, and I can't talk about this without one, I'm actually pleased so far that I haven't done any Seinfeld or done anything like that. Or what's the deal with bees trying to fuck humans or anything like that? Seinfeld, the 90s sitcom, is one of my favorite shows ever. Hugely influential on my stupid sense of humor. And so that show went off the air in 98. This was, I believe, I don't think that Marriage Ref had come out yet. I'm pretty sure this was the first thing, period, that he had done since that show went off the air. The biggest show, biggest sitcom, I'll definitely say that, when it went off in history, this was his return. Because I remember thinking like, oh my God, Jerry Seinfeld's going to do something. And I look and it's a fucking animated B-movie that came out the year I graduated college. So I wasn't exactly hankering for no cartoons. So I think that might have actually played into something of people going into it.
So he took a 10-year break?
About nine. And then he did that Marriage Ref show that came out. And then the Comedians in Cars Coffee. Outside of like doing stand-up. Like he did stand-up and probably stand-up specials. But scripted thing.
Right.
This was it. And I remember too, you know, a movie this good has to have four writers, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And one of them, Spike Feuerstein, was a Seinfeld writer on there as well.
Oh, see, I'm actually really unfamiliar with Jerry Seinfeld, and I had a look through his like filmography and TV history, and yeah, I'm just not really familiar with it at all. And I kind of recognize him and his face, and probably from some stand-up skits that I've seen. But I know you, like you said, you were super into his show, and you were going to be doing his voice and everything. And I was like, oh, it's going to be so lost on me. I'm not going to get it.
Like, why is he talking like this? Why is he yelling? But now that you've watched the movie and you hear him,
you'll know him, just like,
what's he doing?
To me, he's Barry Beeson, or Benson, sorry.
And as always, from something like this, I've realized, oh yeah, Larry David was the actual comic heart and the funny behind that show. Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I think next month is the last season, and that's going off the air, so a little bit of me is going to die in that aspect there. But let's get on to the Rotten Tomato motto.
Yes, the tomato meter. So we have critic score and we have an audience score. Would you like to hear the critic consensus?
No, because I don't know, because this movie sucks. But I also think that it'll be influenced at the time of Seinfeld, of a lot of critics being like, we're getting Jerry Seinfeld. I'm hearing Seinfeld's voice in something new. I think that would inflate it, as well as it being DreamWorks, Spielberg produced and all that crap. So I'm going to say that this is going to waver or hover around that 50% mark. And it sucks, but I just don't think people are going to shit on it. I'm going to say 53.
I'll read you the consensus. So it says, B-movie has humorous moments, but its awkward premise and tame delivery render it forgettable.
It's not forgettable. A premise like this is not, I disagree with that. But okay, so that's probably around there. So
I got super excited there because your first number was correct. The critic scored it at 50%.
Oh, 50 dead on.
Yeah,
see,
you went up a little bit.
See, I'm one of those people that I never guess it.
On the 10
or whatever. Because I want to guess 50, but I'm like, it's going to be like 50. I want to try to get it exact. And so I fucked it up. Damn.
Oh,
so it
was, I was so close.
I know. It was right at 50. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that seems
which
about right.
Which still counts as a big green splat on the Rotten Tomatoes
I think
website.
It has to be 60. I think 60 or more makes it like fresh or not. Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think about the audience?
The audience is just, I'm going to say it's as usual. It's always going to be a little bit higher. And by the way, we did set a new, Will's a new Patreon record for Catwoman being the lowest. Is that was
the
single,
worst ever.
That
yeah.
was single digits. That was eight on
eight
the, critics
for the critics
and
yeah,
18
and,
yeah. for audience. So I don't know if we'll ever do anything that low, but I guess we'll see. I'm going to say that this was a little bit slightly higher because I do think people, again, are audiences would have been like, hey, it's Seinfeld. I'm sure right now there's a lot of probably people a bit younger than you, maybe like mid-20s to early 20s that would have seen this as a kid and been like, that's a good movie. And I'm like, it's
yeah,
okay to be
I loved
wrong.
It.
it's okay to like a movie and it's okay to be wrong about those, but I can see it in there. I'm going to say that this is going to be like 63.
Damn, the audience scored this at a spilt box of popcorn, 53. What you said first.
What I said first, damn it. Yeah. Oh, I was dancing around this goddamn.
You're very close, though. That's good guesses on
that
both.
Was, okay, good. In there, the 53. Wow, the audience is,
they're harsh.
Didn't do that in there. All right, so we mentioned who was written by, obviously, Jerry Seinfeld, Spike Feuerstein, Barry Marder, and Andy Robbins. I don't give a shit to talk about those other ones in there. Directed by Simon Smith and Steve Hickner. Again, just DreamWorks, people involved in DreamWorks, Ants, Shrek. Shrek's DreamWorks
Shrek.
In there, too. So,
Shrek.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But he didn't direct it. It was a, he was like head of layout or something like that. He directed Shrek 4D.
Oh, I have not seen Shrek 4D.
Yeah, and Far, Far Away Idol.
Oh.
Which is a Shrek DVD release based on American Idol and guest starring Simon Cowell.
Oh my God, amazing. How have I not heard about this?
I guess it was on Shrek 2 DVD.
Yeah, okay, cool.
We'll get to those Shrek movies. We'll get to those goddamn Shrek movies. But he also directed...
Shrek Month.
He also directed Megamind, Penguins of Madagascar.
Nice.
Sure, I guess. Stuff like that. Whatever. Who could care? Why are we even still talking about him? And then Steve Hickner was involved there as well. Pac-Man, Kung Fu Panda Holiday in there. I like
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. Have not seen that either. So there we go. With all that garbage out of the way, let's just dive directly in to Brett's reason for losing the will to live. This is only January 2nd. We've watched two.
I know.
We did it January 1st, Catwoman, and January 2nd, B-movie. And I'm regretting, one, making it to 2024, period. Especially doing this intro, all right? They give, like, the voiceover intro about bees not being on the fly, whatever. I'm just like, okay, that's kind of weird, but it's an attempt at humor, fine. The intro to Barry in the bees world. Honey for hair gel, for deodorant.
Yep.
For mouthwash and then using their antennas to talk on the phone. Is this what we're in for?
I kind of love the little antenna phones, the way they put them down as if they're working in an office and had a little headset on and start speaking to each other. I think I lost the will to live. Not the will, actually. I think I lost my mind a little bit.
Like 14 seconds into the movie? Because I almost...
Yeah. Nope, I think I had to take, because I noticed when we were watching on Discord that we simultaneously started the film pretty much 10 minutes within each other, but then you got way ahead because I kept having stop it.
I don't do that. When I start something like this, I'm going to get it goddamn over with.
Yeah, you see, the thing with Catwoman yesterday, we discussed how it had crazy editing and that almost kept me focused.
Yeah, involved.
Because I was like, what the fuck is going on? I actually was kind of falling asleep a lot in this film.
I guess,
was so like, what is going on? I don't understand.
See, there were times when I got confused again. Like, I have a note down here later where I look up and something happened because I didn't remember what I was doing before.
Yeah, I was like, what? We're in court now? Okay.
But as the thing, like, so much of my notes is questions, like, to myself and to just, you know, existence in general of what it is. Because, again, right out of that, he's doing this, it's... Barry B. Benson, voiced by Jerry Seinfeld. And the friend, I think his name was Adam. I think I have that down later. Which is this is Matthew Broderick, who again, youths going into the working world is fucking Jerry Seinfeld and Matthew fucking Broderick at this time. He's really mailing in the performance. Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, he's like this angsty best friend who wants to play by the rules and just go to his job and do what the bees have always done.
Yeah, he could not be bothered in between takes of, I don't know, counting his Godzilla check and Ferris Bueller or whatever it is there. Why are they driving cars? And get used to it, people. I'm going to be asking a lot of fucking questions about why things are gone. Don't be like, "Her, Brett, it's just a cartoon. No. They're bees. They've established one. Honey is going to be used for everything, and I mean everything, later on.
Yeah.
And then they're driving cars. The mom is like, "Why are you flying in the house?" It's just because they're fucking bees.
I'm a bee, mom.
When do bees walk?
I was glad that Vanessa addressed that later. She's like, "Why don't you just fly all the time?" I was like, "Great question, Vanessa." But yeah, he says they're tired.
I was going to say it's because baby Jerry Seinfeld has his fucking sneakers on here too, which is like, why are they wearing sneakers?
And they wear jumpers.
And they have jumpers. That's the blend. But I also think, is this where that fucking comedians and cars getting coffee came from? Was Seinfeld just like, that's a Seinfeld like web series, I think might be on Netflix. Oh, okay. Where he goes, and I actually really like the premise of it because he goes with other comedians and they drive around in Seinfeld's fleet of exotic foreign cars. He apparently has hundreds, if not thousands now. I think him and Jay Leno have two massive buildings in New York City solely for their fleet
That's
of cars.
Crazy. Yeah.
Oh, mercy. Oh, man. How are we? Are we almost to the end of the movie? No, we're not. All right. when they meet, "Hey, Adam. Hey, Barry." It's like, thanks, you fucking lazy ass movie. Delivering these names in the easiest way possible. Like, we heard, "Hey, Adam," on the phone. We can recognize Matthew Broderick's voice. We don't need that. Is so goddamn lazy of like screenwriting.
Mm-hmm. I kept having to remind myself, like, it's a kid's film. It's a kid's film. It's a kid's film. And then I'm like, is it a kid's film? Because then they start pulling in these weird jokes.
There's a
like,
yeah.
The jokes about bee jobs. I was like, are you making jokes about blowjobs? She goes, "They're all small ones." I was like, excuse me? What's that joke?
There are so many bee puns. There's when he talks about religion later or something, he talks about bejesus.
I laughed out loud at that one because I don't know if you guys say it in Texas, but we say that in Ireland. We'd be like, "You scared the bejesus out of me."
You say that here if you're born in like the Gilded Age.
What's that?
Born like in the 1880s, like if you're 100 bejesus? Bejesus, that's a very old term.
Okay, well, I just thought it was just an Irish thing. It's like, "Oh, you scared the bejesus out of me."
No, there's also bee-ish when she's like, "Oh, I hope she's bee-ish instead of Jewish," because yes, we get it, Seinfeld. All these people, they all sound Jewish and you're Jewish. And yeah, I know. All right.
Bee-ish.
I think that might already be like the second deep breath I've already taken to have to deliver my next note. They're driving to their graduation, and when they get there, as they're flying in, quite a bit of pomp under the circumstance, and I'm already ready to kick in my fucking screen. Do you get that reference, the pomp and circumstance? Okay. That's the graduation song. Dun, 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 dun,
oh, okay.
Dun, dun.
We don't have that song here.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody does here, and it's called Pomp and Circumstance. And I'm telling you, my foot was just ready to fly through it already.
See, how are kids supposed to understand these references if I don't understand half of them?
No, what they tried to do, which is weird, because again, this is before, I would say, obviously you had Incredibles and you had like Finding Nemo and all that. The genius of Pixar, and to some lesser extent I'd say Disney animated, but especially Pixar, was blending it of having a quote kids movie but making it adult theme, or at least a theme that would bridge a kid could get to it, look at it one way, and a parent could look at it another.
So they could understand it when they're like taking the, they could have their own bits of humor when they're taking the kids to see it.
Of course. And Shrek was the fucking Shrek. Shrek was the biggest offender of throwing adult theme. I think that's what DreamWorks thing was. We're like, "This ain't your fucking grandma's little kids movie. We're going to throw in jokes about fucking and blowjobs." So he's looking like, "Daddy, what's a bee job?" And you can have that awkward conversation on your way home. I'm getting way too worked up. Way too worked up.
Angry about me.
Well, this far into it. But no, I equate to it's Toy Story 3. And I know people are like, "Why is he bringing up Toy Story 3 to do it?" Toy Story 3, one, it should have ended the fucking Toy Story. They're about to make a fifth one, which is fucking stupid.
Are they?
Yeah. Disney needs money. We're going down that whole rabbit hole, what they've done. But Toy Story 3 was awesome because, like, the ending of that movie, every single adult can look at it and be like, "Oh, yeah, we've all grown up." And we've had to give these toys away, but because they've landed all these relationships and everything, even kids can understand, oh my God, they're giving away the toys. They can relate to that, while the adults will relate to actually having to move on and be an adult and give those toys to another kid who may use it, or just letting go of your childhood period.
Yes, and it's probably those people that have grown up with the two films in their childhood, the two first ones, and then maybe are slightly older for the third one. I can't remember how much time there was between those.
Toy Story was 95.
And then what about Toy Story 3?
Toy Story 3 was 2010, I'm pretty sure.
I feel like it was like a good amount of time
Toy
between
Story
those.
Toy Story 2
so,
was 99 maybe or something like that. Oh, there was that. Yeah. That was the big thing when they did it, because they're like, they're not going to make another Toy Story. And they did that one. It was like, that was perfect. Because yes, it was kids who grew up with it.
And they might even have even had their own little kids that they could then introduce to the franchise.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Nostalgia off the charts. But yeah, I had to keep going with it.
Can we talk about anything other than B-movie? I really don't. Can we talk about Toy Story? Can we please just talk about Toy Story? Can we give Hal another go? No. All right, now here's where the movie got my attention. Okay.
Oh, what is it when they start saying that they fancy their cousins?
Okay, hold up. Stop the show. Wait, what? Now I am attacked. No. That's what you think?
I just looked over at my notes and that's what I saw.
That's your next thing?
I wrote, it's okay to flirt with your distant cousins.
Okay, well, one, I don't have anything about cousin sex in my notes. That's on you, Freud, okay? That's on you, what's it called? Not display, projection. You're projecting that onto me. No, I wasn't thinking about cousin fucking. I was thinking where Barry discovers that they're going to be worked to death and exploited. And I'm like, oh my God, is this accidental Marxism, accidental communism? Is this stupid B-movie about the exploitation of workers under the yoke of the working class? No, it's a stupid fucking talking B-movie.
Yes, I just can't believe, like, I remember when I started the film, it was like, oh, it's only like 90 minutes or something. I was like, oh my God, amazing.
Unbelievable.
And then I got like halfway through, I was like, what is this film about? And then it's like 40 minutes left. I was like, how is there 40 minutes left? It felt like it was coming to a conclusion. Then it's got this whole second story.
Would you have ever guessed that the crux of this movie would have been a bee suing humanity in federal court?
And then that's not even the end of the film. It's like, oh, we won the case. Yay. Oh, now we have to go and like undo everything we did because it was a bad idea.
Well, that goes into this, like, is an ultimate. It's really fucking weird because this is one of those I tried not to like write out, you know, a 3-page essay on, you know, B-movie and the rigors of capitalism and Marxism and socialism, you know, and all that stuff in there. But that's to the end when it starts to critique the other side. This is where we're seeing like the critique of fucking like capitalism and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to be bred for that, they tell him. He wants to be a pollen jockey. Pollen jock.
Yes, the jocks. Yes, the jocks, and the Royal Nectar Force.
Yes, in there. And you have to be bred for that. Then I'm like, is he doing like the class warfare where he's like, you're in this class, you have to say they're B-movie. What kind of cocaine-induced nonsense was this movie written or thought of in?
I would love... I read on the Wikipedia that Steven Spielberg came up with it in like a week. He was like, go away. They told him to go away and come up with a film about insects. It came back in a week with this.
And I saw that this started in 2003.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And
their time.
And they were like, hey, Seinfeld, come do this movie. And I guess Seinfeld does not need any money. Evidenced by him not really doing anything unless he wants to. Because I'm pretty sure every time Seinfeld went into syndication, meaning like when the syndication rights came up, like right now TBS and like TNT have it, and like Netflix, I think, has it. Whenever these come up, they have to resell them. That's why everybody wants to get into TV and get, when it gets into syndication, to get those royalties from it. But what I always heard was every time that came up, him and Larry David, the two creators, would get like several $100 million straight up. Like every 8 years it comes up, or decade, or whatever it is.
It's wild. It's absolutely insane.
It is nuts. And if I remember correctly, I think you also need to get in 6 episodes to get syndication. So if you see a guest if you see a guest star, every time I see a guest star with five credits, I'm like,
you're
oh,
like,
those,
oof.
Especially to show like Seinfeld or Friends or a big one. I'm like, could they not just write them in?
Give me another little scene in the next episode, please.
Get them that extra paycheck. Yeah. So Barry wants to be a pollen jock and leave the hive, but his parents want him to have a safe job. So I think this is clearly what Seinfeld went through, telling his parents that he wanted to be a comedian.
Wanted to be in a B movie.
No, not that. He's already made the money. I mean, back in like the 70s or something. He's like, I want to go joke, make jokes all day.
Yeah, bless him. I did just find this so funny, and how they have this obvious hive mentality where everyone's just like, no, just get your job. And this poor little bee just wants to get out of it. And I thought, how is he going to get out of this thing? Because his mom and his dad are, what do they call them? Stirrers?
They're stirrers, yeah.
They're stirrers. And he's like, my boy is going to be the next big stirrer. God,
he's like, what are you
going to
do? Work with balloon animals? You have a stinger. Yeah, just, yeah. Bee law number one, talking to humans. Again, insert Fight Club, Bee Club joke here. I got an idea for number two, though. How about no fucking humans?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't form romantic attachments to humans. Don't. Yeah. Mr. Steal your girl over here. You're like, per Ken.
Yes. Ken. Okay. No. The Ken's coming up. But we'll just jump to that real quick. When we're introduced to Ken and the fucking bee when he goes in there, the first thing we get is Vanessa, by the way, Vanessa Bloom, because her dur.
I make flowers.
I'm going to have my name Bloom because a fucking baby wrote this movie. Why does his life have any less value than yours? Fellas out there, and you know what? Ladies, you as well. If your significant other, upon seeing an insect, says to you, why does their life have any less value than yours? Run away.
Yes, that is a big red flag from Vanessa. I can understand if she's like, we don't have to kill him, but it's the fact that he goes, I have allergies, that could kill me. And she's like, no, sorry, you're not more important than this bee.
Like, to me, that's one of those decisions where, okay, just make him an asshole. Make him a bro, a jock that wants to just kill everything. Well, first off, don't show him playing tennis. And as someone who plays tennis, it's not the most manly thing to show somebody. Despite Patrick
Should've
Warburton
been playing football.
Yelling, anything like that. Yeah, just have him doing something. I know they had to play tennis together. But either way, he's allergic to it. Am I supposed to think he's still an asshole from this? Like, he's allergic to a bee. We just gotta fuck. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We need to get them out. Like, I feel like it's quite a reasonable request from Ken. They kind of paint him as a bad guy in this film. And half the time I'm like, he asked Vanessa a question. I'm like, great question, Ken. I would also be asking this question as well.
Yeah, like a good question is when he walks in and his girlfriend and a bee are toasting each other, I think it's correct to be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, and he goes, why does the bee talk again? I'm like, yes, why is nobody questioning?
We will get, oh my God. Okay, yeah. All right. I got thoughts about that too. I got thoughts about everybody in here about these fucking bees. But Barry leaves the hive with the pollen jocks and finds himself in New York City. Is this the fourth movie in a row that we have done that takes place in New York fucking city? Elf,
it actually
Percy
might
Jackson,
be.
Catwoman, and this.
Home Alone?
Oh my fucking God. Five? No.
Did they
go
to New York?
No, no, no.
Oh,
that's number
Home Alone
two.
Home Alone 2. My bad.
Christ, we didn't do that. But no, that is four movies in a row that we fucking done.
New York
done.
City. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
I've never even been.
I feel like this is the podcasting gods, these asshole podcasting gods telling you.
Go to New York.
Go to New York City. Watch out, there might be some fucking talking bees, though.
Yes, watch out for the talking bees, the Olympian gods, the Catwoman,
the
of course. Yes, the cat gods. And what was the other one?
Fucking elf.
Oh, elf. Watch out for Will Ferrell.
Hi, buddy. Hope you find your dick. Shut the fuck. Okay. Okay. No, I'm going to yell at the bees in this movie. So they fly around, and what's this? At 1520, we see two buildings. Together, maybe you can call them twins. What's another word for tall buildings and a nickname for the Tim Duncan and David Robinson from Spurs in the 90s and 2000s?
Don't mention it.
We don't need to do that. Must not. No, that's a Deutsche Bank Center, the old Time Warner Towers of Columbus Circle. It is not Anything else that may have come in there? All right. So these dumbass pollen jocks have apparently never seen a tennis ball and they think it's a flower. And here comes Patrick Warburton, previously mentioned or brought up Ken. This Joe from Family Guy, who you probably recognize because as Hal mentioned.
It is just,
But that's just kind of what he is. And he's in a wine commercial coming up. I love him. He's Putty from Seinfeld. I'll always know him.
He's so funny.
As Putty from Seinfeld, where he doesn't go crazy like this unless he's rooting for this hockey team or doing it. Normally he's just Putty and he's real, you know, chill. No, I'm good. Like it's funny. So understated and almost monotone. High five. But here, he is just Joe from Family Guying it up. And it was to the end where I'm just like, bro, you've got to calm the fuck down. You've blown up like 7 microphones already. Chill the fuck out. You're in a talking bee movie.
Yeah, I know. I always think this about him. I think, God, your poor throat must absolutely wreck by the end of the day. It's just constant, like screaming. Actually, it's not screaming. It's like shouting, but it's real bassy, coming from the throat. And I think, God, that must hurt so much to do that.
But that's how he does it, because you're right. He's not actually screaming or shrieking or even like harming his vocal cords. Yeah.
Why does this bee have
my life? God, no. By the way, this is going to be take a drink every time I say talking bee. Talking bee.
It's a talking bee.
Every time I say I'm not doing that on purpose, by the way. I know I've mentioned this before. But if you're thinking I'm saying talking like I'm trying to be New York for whatever fucking reason, maybe because I watched too much goddamn Seinfeld or other things set in New York, I will say, yeah, he was walk. See, now that one's kind of got me
walking.
In there. I would say sometimes like, yeah, he's walking and talking. That's how
talking.
That's how I say it. I'm not doing that as a bit. I'll do it in the middle of. See, now I'm so subconscious thinking about it, but I can't say. He's talking. He's talking.
How do people from Texas say it? Talking.
I mean, I say talking, but see now.
Yeah, but you're blended accent.
Especially when I get wild up. I mean, it's just straight talking. And so I mean it like that's it. I'm not doing that on purpose. It's really fucking weird and I have to explain it every so often. So I probably should have said that first.
Yeah.
Because probably by the third time I'd be like, why does he keep saying like that? Is he doing his New York? Here? Oh my God, they're on the ceiling. Have you seen Ghostbusters?
No, I have not.
We could almost do the original one with Annie Potts. Oh my God. Remember Zombieland when Emma Stone's doing, oh my God, they're on the sea.
Yeah. That's she's her doing the Ghostbusters.
She's
bit.
Doing her Annie Potts of just New York.
Funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I keep saying now? My Americanism.
Y'all?
When someone asks me, no, I don't say y'all.
Damn.
When someone asks me the time, you know, if it was in like 20 minutes time, it's going to be, I would say, I used to say it would be 9:30.
Yeah.
But then because you Americans don't know what that means, I started saying 9:30. So now I say 9:30 and people here understand that still, but I'm like, I have eradicated the 9:30 or like, you know, 9:30 whatever from my vocabulary.
Who was it that said that 9:30 in their country meant 8:30.
Yes, somebody said that.
Seeley,
and I was like,
Seeley, Finland.
Yeah,
it was Seeley,
that's
right?
Insane.
Yes.
I think so. I was like, that makes no sense.
That makes less sense than 9:30 see, I said it right there. Like 9:30. Is that what it is?
I would say 9:30.
9:30 would make sense, I get in that because just half. Actually, now that they kind of say
now
that.
Now I'm thinking about it.
Now
kind
I'm
of
thinking
could
about
make
it.
Kind
of makes sense because the half. Mm-hmm. Before 9:00.
You're halfway to 9:00.
You know what
so
you should just say?
It.
Just say 9:30.
Just say
or,
9:30.
Like we did in the radio business, bottom of the hour.
Ah, is that what that means?
Yeah, bottom of the hour.
And then top of the
down.
Hour
top
is...
Top of the hour is at the top. The hand. The
what about
hand,
if it's like 10 past?
10 past. Or 10:10. You just say 10:10 because we're not fucking
psychotics.
I say
10 past. What I noticed
10
about
past what
some...
though? You have to say 10 past like 9:00.
Well, yeah, 10 past 9:00.
But then that,
nine.
Then you're putting again, like what you morons over in Europe, actually, where everybody does, y'all put the day before the month, which
well, yeah,
is
obviously.
That's fucking stupid.
You put the
stupid.
Smallest thing first.
No, but
day,
you put
month,
the main
year.
Thing. No, you put the main thing, which is the month, so then I know where I'm working with.
But if you say not the month.
Yes, it is. If you say the 21st, I'm like, are they going to go the 21st of March? Are they going the 21st of July? They're going. No, you say January. Okay, now I know what I'm working with. 14th. Okay, perfect. That's how you do it.
Okay.
Do we have to win another world war for everybody to finally do this? Like, did we just
do you know what I noticed in Poland? Some of our European friends said when they were telling the time, like if I said, what's the time? They would say, oh, it's 21. I was like, excuse me. So they obviously I read a 24-hour clock all the time on my phone. That's what I have. But I would never look at that and be like, it's 21. I would say it's 9. But they would look at it and be like, oh, it's 21. I was like, no, no, no.
If you that's okay,
too
if you,
fancy for me. Europe.
If you are gonna do that, then it needs to be just go the
2100.
2100, like the military would say here, like you just go 2100.
It's 16. I was like, what?
If they were to say 21, I'd be like, is it like 7? Is it 8? Wait, I don't what? Yeah, I would have been confused. Visible confusion would have popped up on my head. All right, so Barry instantly wants to fuck cartoon Renee Zellweger.
I don't like it. He's like hyping himself up like, how am I going to talk to her? What am I going to say to her? I'm like, don't say anything to her. That's be law. We've established this is what you don't do.
Yeah, but she saved his life, and now he owes her a Wookiee-style life debt. Like fucking Chewbacca over here.
Oh, it was just really weird.
I was going to say that was Zalbar. I dropped a Wookiee from Knights of the Old Republic to just derail things anymore.
This is what Hal wanted.
This is what I think everybody wanted, judging by the reactions in Discord. I think everybody wanted this, and I haven't even gotten to like losing my mind yet. And I'm just getting worked up. This is the appetite. This is the foreplay of Brett going nuts. Cause now we're just, it is. Cause now they've introduced bee fucking. So now I'm just going to start using a bunch of stuff like that. But yeah, Barry has his stupid sneakers on. This is Vanessa fucking Bloom. And she's a florist. And I can't do this.
Yeah. I like Vanessa. I like her as a person, apart from I really liked when she stabbed herself in the hand. I thought that was funny.
Did you like it?
Stabs herself in the hand with a fork.
Like, because she's just so nervous talking to this bee? She's so horny?
she thinks she's going insane.
Oh, yeah, she did do that. And then she poured coffee. Now we can see she poured coffee. On. She poured coffee. God damn it. See, now it's in my head. She poured coffee on the floor.
They were talking on the roof.
They were talking coffee. Here. They were talking, drinking coffee. You know, he was walking. Speaking of walking, did you like this gratuitous foot shot of her? Of her feet?
A foot shot?
How do you not notice this stuff?
No, I think it's more weird that twice in a row you've noticed the foot shots and I have not.
I don't have a foot fetish. That's evidenced by the shirt that I'm wearing that says, don't ask me about a foot fetish. I don't have one. No, I'm not wearing that. I'm wearing an Oregon sweatshirt because they just beat the shit out of Liberty. Fuck you, Liberty University. Religious nut job. Like, yeah, it's a crazy religious school by Jerry Falwell that like bought their way into like D1.
Ooh.
Division one. Yeah, yeah. Oregon beat the shit out of them. Good riddance, Liberty. Go fuck
yourself. Good for Oregon Ducks.
There you go.
Go everybody. Ducks.
It's one of the only times when everybody was rooting against an underdog because it was Liberty University. It was like so weird that everyone's rooting for the Nike factory. Speaking of buying stuff, Oregon bought their blue blood status and everyone's just like, yeah, fuck Liberty. Fuck Falwell and all them.
Go
but no,
Ducks.
This isn't the only foot shot later, but I'll nix the later one. Let me just delete that one there. How could you not notice it? It's literally on the screen and her feet split to look at Central Park.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I get you. Yes. I remember now. I just didn't make a note about it.
Yeah, me neither. So they split up, not split up and like break up in that sense, but he goes back home. He has what I can only describe as a wet dream about Vanessa, where they kill a mosquito and laugh about it. And she flies, which I guess that's his kind of fetish because his eyes got widened when she got into that aeroplane.
Yeah, this bit got me, actually, because I didn't think it was a dream. And then when she crashed the paraglider into the mountain, I was like, whoa. I was like, hang on, B-movie. This got really serious quickly.
Wait, you think she just got into a plane? Well, I guess it's fucking B-movie. Why not? No,
I was
right.
Like, anything's possible in B-movie. But yeah, when it crashed, just went into a fiery oblivion into the side of a mountain.
There were two things I laughed at in this movie. One is coming up later. This is the first one because I was not. It got me. She just crashed right into the mountain. Very good reveal on there. I audibly chuckled at that.
I did as well. I gasped and laughed out loud. And then I was like, oh, fucking, of course it's a dream. They're not going to kill off his love interest in B movie.
No, but he also, I say it's a dream, but he's swimming and he's swimming in the honey. Is this like psychedelic honey?
Yeah, it was a bit creepy, this dream.
Why
actually.
Is this a Smurfs? Oh, that's creepy. But the other, I think the whole thing is creepy from now on. But everything, like, is this a Smurfs thing, though? Like, honey is, you know, Smurf. It's just, wow, I really Smurfed her. That was really Smurfing good.
What,
you know, they
Smurf?
Use that. Smurfs?
Oh,
the show,
right.
The Smurfs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry,
or the movie
yeah.
The Dictator, like Aladdin, saying, yeah, it's Aladdin.
I don't know that one.
No one's
I know the
Dictator.
Smurf one, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything in this movie is honey. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's weird. It gets really weird.
Yep. But they go to the store. Oh, he goes back to Vanessa.
Yeah,
they go to the store and they see this honey. And what's up with this shot at Ray Liotta? Like, they have Ray Liotta's honey. And she's like, oh, isn't that the actor? He's like, I never heard of him. I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm. Does he really have honey in real life?
I don't know. It's Paul Newman that really has a lot of like food stuff, like, or had
right,
a bunch
okay.
of food stuff when he was alive. But no, I don't think Ray Liotta actually had an organic honey. But he comes back later. So I was like, oh, I guess that was part of the paycheck was, hey, let us. Shot at you. It was like, maybe Jerry Seinfeld just doesn't like Ray Liotta.
Maybe not. But yeah, Barry can't believe that the honey is for sale.
He gets super upset at them stealing honey. And
they're all struggling at home.
They're all struggling. He confronts this Latino stalker. Stalker, yes, not stalker. Why make sure I say that right. This Latino stalker, like a stalk boy.
Oh yeah, threatens him.
They have a sword fight. Using a thumbtack and a stinger, which is now metallic as you can hear it. And now I've thrown my kicked in screen out the window.
You didn't like the sword fight?
What do you think? Do you think me throwing my monitor out the screen afterwards meant that I enjoyed it or not? Are you kidding? You can hear it. And he says, and I swear he says Inigo, making like an Inigo Montoya joke from Princess Bride.
Oh, God.
This movie sucks.
It is just, it's so funny because some characters are really, like, there's the character of Ken who's kind of sensible and like, why is this bee talking? Why are you having a relationship with the bee? And then there's the stockroom boy who just straight up is like, aha, you can talk. I challenge you to a duel. I'm like, what the fuck?
This is also implying that at no point in history or humanity's history that a bee ever talked, because he is yelling about this honey, and this dude is 20, 30 feet down the aisle.
Yeah.
So all the time, those fucking lawn jockey or pollen jockey bees are out there talking about 446 and 12 at 0400. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. At no point, nobody else in history has ever heard them through the tens of billions, if not like trillion bees that have ever existed. And then this is where I was going to save it for when Ken gets home and is just like, why is that bee still talking? There are talking bees. Somebody react like a human to finding out that fucking bees talk. Don't be like, mm-hmm. Oh, I knew it was you. What the fuck do you mean you knew it was them?
Why did you know it was a bee?
How did you know it was that bee?
I kind of loved Ken's reaction. And then we do get like, all of a sudden, when they put in the, what is the word? They put in the court order to sue human
lawsuit,
human race. Yeah.
Lawsuit, yeah.
Then all of a sudden people are like, oh, we're going to see if the bee's going to talk. And I'm like, okay, yes, this is generating interest as it should. People shouldn't just be blasé about this.
If a bee came up and started talking, that would be a pretty big deal. That would make you rethink existence.
Yes,
in general.
Everything.
Because
everything.
Yes, going back to the whole like exploitation thing. Oh my God. The whole thing of like, and I do it. I eat dead animals. I drink mm-hmm. milk. Oh, I drink milk. You know I drink some milk.
Oh,
that cow at the end of this movie, hey, I don't like that cow.
Mm,
you better keep,
I know.
You better keep pumping that milk out, okay? that was where I really got upset, was when that cow wanted some rights, and all I wanted to do is just slurp on those
cows.
Udders. Yeah, just give me those straight from the udder. Just like Homelander, like licking that milk.
Oh no, Homelander is so gross. Maybe that's where I've got my thing for I don't like people drinking milk. It's because of Homelander.
Of Homelander, like licking it.
Yes.
Like in there,
oh, it's so grim. It's so, but that's because that's like somebody's breast milk that he does that with. So that's a bit more weird.
Yeah, you gotta pay a lot for breast milk these days. So you better like, yeah, you better, you know.
Better savor it, I guess.
Honestly, though, since then, every glass of milk I drink, I kind of do that now where I have to do it like he does it. And I'm just like, oh yeah, look at me, I'm Homelander. He was a good guy, right?
Oh yeah.
Wait, what are they trying to say? It's like the old eating the apple, like the assholes and bad guys would always eat an apple. So now is it
Yeah.
like milk drinking?
It is milk drinkers are, yeah,
Fucking Gen
psychotic.
Z canceling milk, canceling all that stuff and me doing the milk.
Oat milk only.
All right, so Barry wants to go to this honey farm, but before that, we're introduced to Chris Rock Mosquito,
Oh my God.
who's going to Alaska to suck on some moose blood. And I feel like this was a sex joke that even I didn't understand.
I didn't get it. I didn't understand why Chris, his voice is so recognizable. I know you said Renee Zellweger's is, but Chris Rock, as soon as he goes, uh-oh, I'm like, oh, that's Chris Rock. Okay.
Yeah,
Didn't get the joke either.
no, and Chris Rock is one of those. Chris Rock's stand-up from the 90s is legendary. Like, I will put it up there with like Eddie Murphy's from the 80s, any of that. And it was almost, in a way, almost like early Dave Chappelle in that sense when they actually told jokes. You know, Dave Chappelle
Yes.
doesn't really tell jokes anymore. You know, he just kind of just yells about shit. But Chris Rock in movies is horrible. We could do a bad movie month on Chris Rock movies, and they are dreadful. Because it's just this fucking stand-up shit where he goes in there and he does this stand-up and it's like, no, this is a movie. This is supposed to be an actor, supposed to be a character. Don't do that shit. So I remember what he was saying. I think they were somehow equating. I didn't know if I wanted to broach that thing where if it was like, is he equating like racial stuff in here? Or mosquito?
I
Some of
wasn't sure.
the stuff I didn't want to think too hard about.
Yeah, and then I just saw that he was gonna go and jump onto the, there's like a blood van going
Of
past or something, and I
course.
was like, okay, go. Yeah,
There's the blood. Yeah, go. Get out of this movie, Chris Rock. But unfortunately, he comes
go
back.
home, Chris Rock.
Speaking of uncomfortableness, Barry goes to the honey farm. And
Oh, God.
all I have down is, oh my God, please, 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 no Holocaust imagery or references. Please, for the love of God. And then, of course, they pull out the smoker. And I just have, oh God, oh God, oh
Oh
God.
God, oh God,
Don't do it, B movie. Don't do it. And I'm looking for, are we gonna have an Auschwitz pun? Are we gonna have a being Belson, Bergen Beeson, or something like that? Can I be more uncouth with my jokes?
it was so bad, and they get the smoker out, and then they have this joke about drag queens.
Yeah, the drag queen is just like, was
I feel like there's a lot of jokes in here that are for bee farmers who actually know about how bees are farmed. So I know that they actually steal, that's not what they do, isn't it? They steal the queen from a hive to put it into the fake hive, and then the rest of the bees do just have to follow them. But
Yeah,
then
and I.
sometimes they'll do a fake queen.
Oh,
And that's what
really?
they're doing about the drag queen. Yeah, they're dressing up someone as a fake queen.
Oh,
Yeah.
there's a drag queen. Ah, just, I did look up though that the smokers, I guess that calms the bees down. It doesn't actually like
Yes.
gas them or whatever. Or like it
Well,
doesn't poison.
that's what we're told,
Okay,
Brett.
but you're
That's what we're
right.
told.
Sorry, the propaganda here did. Okay, no, I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Okay. I was about to reference something, but I'm not referencing it. I'm not
Okay.
doing it. Okay. Yeah. So, but mercifully, there wasn't any that I could think of
Yeah.
Holocaust imagery or anything like that. And then you get the fucking apiaries, right? Aren't they what they're called? Apiaries, I think, or apiarius or something like that. I think it's like the bee
Well, like
thing.
the pretend hive thing,
No, I
yeah.
think to be like a bee, the study of bees, like apiary, or
Oh.
like the beehives or something like apiaries or something like that. I don't remember something. The guy, the beekeeper, says they make the honey and we make the money. And oh my God, is this fucking Marxist socialist messaging here? Like it is literally being like, but it goes back to again, it goes back to that kind of Holocaust thing where it's like, I'm like, no, I don't want to think about the Holocaust and I don't want to think about secret B movie Marxist man. What
What's the message here?
What is
What's
happening?
the
Yes, is this showing what is we they make the honey, we make the money. It's like, no,
message?
stop, no. But before I can start thinking about anything halfway intelligent, we get B. Gandhi, B. Columbus, and B. Jesus. B.
Jesus! Hey!
Jesus. Did you recognize who this was? Like Larry King, did you get that? Do you know who that is?
I wrote down, who is this show host supposed to be? I recognize him, and then they actually say, he's Larry King, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a talk show host, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think he's long dead by now. Or if he's not dead, he's not on the air anymore. But yeah, Larry King, while I was rolling my eyes at it, this was the second time I actually laughed. Because, one, it is actually Larry King doing it. That is exactly how Larry King looks. And as it keeps getting spelled out, where Seinfeld's just like, well, you know, we actually have, there's actually Larry King like that in real life. Yeah, well, then he actually has the same dots on the back, has that squinty eyes, leans forward. He's Jewish. And I just, I was actually legit laughing because I was like, okay, they actually made this stupid be Larry King thing actually be funny.
Yes,
that was
and
not
they just
a pun.
Kept going with it and kept going with it. It was just, it was stupid, but it was funny.
Yeah, I need to watch myself anytime I say that because I didn't mean to actually be like, it would actually be funny. And then as soon as I say the B, I'm like, oh no. Oh, but I'm going back to this. There are so many goddamn B puns in this travesty of a movie. How the hell did this movie, which has only came out 11 years after the movie Jerry Maguire, which also had Renee Zellweger, which was Renee Zellweger's bursting onto the scene, the biggest line in there and mentioned in the Oscar winners debasing themselves. That's where Cuba Gooding Jr. won his Oscar. The line of that is, show me the money. How the hell was there not a show me the honey reference?
Was there not?
No, I was looking for it. I was waiting. So I had my gun up here next to me and I was waiting to hear show me the honey. I had it cleaned and ready.
I could have sworn they did show me the honey.
They didn't.
No, they did. Yeah, they did. You do the money. You do the honey. We do the money. They did that. Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they were above that.
Yeah. No, that didn't come to anybody's mind in the whole writing process.
Yeah. This Vanessa's boyfriend, Ken Hearsbury, speaking. And this is why, like, nobody has a correct reaction. People should be saying, like, that's a talking bee. I've lost my goddamn mind, or they're actual talking bees.
Yes, either we've all collectively lost our minds or something's happened to us that's making us all, you know, simultaneously hallucinate this, or bees actually talk.
The simulation would be broken. Yes.
Yes.
The simulation that we live in is broken. Bees are talking. Our overlords have fucked up.
I do think that. But then also, was it 2023 or was it the year before where in America there was like going on loads in court about how they have aliens?
Yeah, no, that is...
And there's actual aliens. And everyone was just like, oh, okay. Just carry on with my day.
Yeah, the United States government has confirmed, like, not... I don't know if it's they've confirmed, quote, aliens, but they have confirmed, like, a UFO. Like, an unidentified flying object from, like, that we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only thing that's really been, quote, confirmed. You've had people, though... Like actual high up secret military people are now open testimony saying that they have come across life forms that they do not believe to be human. That's when I knew. I knew there was a certain moment in the past, definitely in the U.S. Post-Trump era and then post-COVID, that I knew things were like different than they were always going to be different is when like 10 years ago, especially back in like the fucking 90s or whatever, 10 years ago. If that would have come out, that the United States government confirmed the like UFOs in existence, I truly think it would have been game-changing. Like, it would have been almost in the same way that, like, if the Kennedy assassination, if it came out that, yes, high-up CIA and LBJ, who became the president, they knew about it or they were involved, the same thing where if somehow, like, the existence of God was disproven, you know what I mean? Or that Christianity, it came up without question that Christianity was not real and it was made up 10,000, made up 2,000 years ago, or whatever. I truly believe something like that with UFOs would have done it. And the fact that that came out and then went into the news cycle for the typical 24 to 48 hours and then got flushed out.
Yep.
And nothing happened is when I realized, oh shit, things really don't fucking matter anymore.
Nobody gives a fuck. They're like, sorry, oh, there's aliens. Okay, can they help me like pay my ridiculously expensive mortgage or bills? No? Okay, I don't give a fuck. I need to go to work.
Yes, and the single biggest person that did this was the fucking guy from Blink 182.
What did he do?
He was the big on Alien. They have a song called Aliens Exist, and he has always been about fucking aliens. And everyone's just like, oh, it's like Bigfoot, it's like blah, blah, blah. And then he said something, and then it came out, and it just was like, oh shit. I think it wasn't Travis Barker. I think it was Tom DeLonge, which is why I got Tom Lone confused. I kept saying Tom Long. Oh, yeah. Tom DeLonge. We're tying everything back together. Like, it came out, and she's like, holy shit, the guy from Blink 182 is what opened
he
up.
He was right.
The existence of fucking aliens in our world.
I know. Everyone's like, all right, what's next? Like, our attention span is just ruined.
Yeah, it's nothing fucking matters. Like, it just doesn't. Like, I wonder that too, when eventually all of the Kennedy stuff, they keep pushing it back. All the Kennedy files or whatever, the Warren Commission or everything like that keeps getting pushed back. But when that comes out, it's just like, what if it comes out that that was it? Like, the head of the CIA in cahoots with some people in the cabinet has helped initiate an assassination of the sitting president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to fucking matter? Are they just, you know what I mean? Are they just like, look, we're going to wait till everybody's fucking dead from it?
Yeah.
Pretty much, like, everybody who can remember it. And then
just let it come out.
Then let it come out, and then we'll get distracted by something else, I guess.
That's it. That's it exactly. It's just a distraction. And then, in the next news cycle, something else will come out, and it'll slowly be forgotten about.
It's bread and circuses. I know we brought that up on one episode. Oh, Hunger Games. We talk about bread and circuses.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right, I think we've beaten around the bush enough to not get back to goddamn, or get back to B-movie. But here we go. Here's where we get the actual fucking plot, apparently. Barry is going to sue humanity. Now, I'm no legal expert, okay? But I'm pretty sure a fucking bee cannot sue people in goddamn federal court. Our court system is not that fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's like in America, but I'm pretty sure here it wouldn't go down this easily.
No, and y'all would have those goofy wigs on, too.
Yeah, exactly. It would be even more ridiculous.
You barristers.
Yeah.
Barrister. John Goodman, no,
I know.
John Goodman, don't slum it. But he's obviously the best part of this movie. And he's doing his whole, now I'm no fancy big city lawyer here, son, or country down in Tennessee where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. I love his voice so much. He's so recognizable, this voice. It's so, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just this country lawyer there where he's all big and fat, just like John Goodman. Although maybe he kind of loses a lot of weight in and out of there. All right. So we've gotten to the point. Where now it's like, all right, they're going to do this. Okay, it's a courtroom. Had a little bit of time. I'm going to be okay. All right, so the Honorable Judge Bumbleton presiding. Yep. And I am now tying a noose from my ceiling fan.
Why?
Judge Bumbleton.
I got I know Bumbleton.
Yes, because it's a fucking
Is there somebody that it's named after, or is it just Bumble?
No, it's just Bumble, like a fucking okay. Bee. You get it? You get it? It's like a bee.
Bumblebee. Yeah.
Bumbleton.
Transformers.
Bumblebee. Yeah, why can he come in here and like fucking run over these goddamn bees?
Put Bumblebee in here and figure it out.
Yeah, transform into a good fucking movie, maybe. All right. Sting, the singer, shows up to collect his DreamWorks paycheck and absorb more bee puns, but they don't actually say, this shocked me, they don't actually say how he got his name Sting.
I don't know how he got his name Sting, but I do know that he's from Wall's End, which is where I used to live.
Is that like London?
No, Wall's End is in Newcastle. It's on
is
the
it really?
Other side of, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's
he's
like,
a Geordie?
Yeah, we would have driven past when we drove out to the coast.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Wall's End. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't
sound like it. Does
yeah,
he?
I was about to say, no, he must have moved or just rightfully got rid of the accent.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you move down south. You have to change your voice because they don't understand us down there.
It's what they do. But yet, no, Sting, because I remember he was on the second season of Always Only Murders in the Building. Great show.
Okay.
When he was very young, when he was playing with some, it was before the police, it was before that, when he was like, I guess, just getting started, he wore a sweater that was black and yellow stripes.
Oh,
and so
okay.
People were just like, you look like a fucking bee. And they didn't call him bee. They call him Sting.
That's a good name.
Yeah. And it stuck with him this whole time.
That's cute. I remember any time I used to wear a black and white striped top of any sort to the office, that my boss would either call me a zebra or a cat burglar or, what's the little... the bad guy called from McDonald's.
The Hamburglar.
Yes, the Hamburglar.
Did you say zebra?
Yes, I said zebra.
God, I thought y'all just... y'all don't actually say Z?
No.
Like, it wouldn't be like a zebra? It's zebra?
Zebra.
I thought it was just like Zed was just to be like, oh, it's like, it's not actually Z.
We don't call it Z, no.
Fascinating.
Call it Zed.
Rose Zed. That was on a football manager I played from like 2006, the first one. Whenever whenever someone would just kick the ball as far as they could, they'd be like, clear it into Rose Zed. And then I instantly went to Google, what is Zed?
What is Rose Zed?
I was like, what is Zed? Oh, Zed is Z. Okay.
Yeah.
Zebra. I don't like
Zebra.
It. Zebra.
Yeah. Zebra sounds kind of normal to me, though, because of how much American television I've watched. And obviously, zebras are a hot topic in American children's TV shows.
We do love our zebras over here. We love the zebras and the lions being friends to show people that.
Yeah.
About attitude, you know, it's not about nature. It's not about anything like that. All right. So then the actual Ray Liotta shows up and we get a good fella pun. It's like, you're not a good fella. You're a bad fella. And I can't take it. And there's too much here. It's too much in order. I've now climbed on my little wooden stool and I can feel the rope against my neck.
Oh, God. This is getting really dark.
This is a dreadful fucking movie. This movie's so fucking infuriating and annoying with all of this. Does anybody else watch it and do that? Or do they just watch it and they're like, oh, dumb movie?
When I'm this disinterested in a film or uninterested, sorry, I just slowly fall asleep.
No, it's the Seinfeld angle. Like, I look at it and I'm like, this was it. This is what we got from fucking Seinfeld. I would rather watch The Marriage Ref than this shit.
One of his other stuff?
Yeah, and I think it was couples went on there and had arguments. And he, like, it was like a court show for, like, couples.
Oh, like referee?
Yeah, yeah, marriage referee, yeah.
Oh, God, that sounds bizarre.
Yeah, I think it lasted one season. Everyone was like, that's Seinfeld's return to TV.
Brilliant.
It's just like, what is he doing? Is he just trying to, like, does he want people to, like, forget about Seinfeld? Is that, like, his curse? He wants to stop being asked about a Seinfeld reunion, which was done the best way on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think season 7. They did a Seinfeld reunion. That whole season was like them all going back together. If you like Seinfeld and you haven't watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, watch that season. It's a very good Seinfeld reunion. Very, very good. Very self-referential in there. All right, so Barry goes back home or something like that because Ken is attacking him in the bathroom. Yeah. And he falls in the toilet. And Ken says something to Tunto. That's a royal flush.
Yep.
Why is it a royal flush? I don't get. Is he royalty? Is he?
Well, I do remember from the beginning of the film they call the royal nectar force. However, Ken would not know
there
that.
There you go. There you go. How does Ken know that?
Yeah, but then I keep forgetting his name. Sorry, Barry says you're bluffing.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are we getting all
ha ha ha? Now we have poker. It is 2007, which should be a lot of poker terms in 2007, like any movie.
Okay.
It's a big deal back then.
But then I laughed out loud. This is my last LOL.
Oh, no.
So, because it was so stupid, because they were trying to be clever with these poker references. And maybe this is a reference. I doubt it is. But whenever he gets splashed with the water and Ken goes, oh, no, poo water. Like, why is he saying
the poo water got you?
It was because it was so out of nowhere and hearing Patrick Warburton say poo.
All right, I'm just gonna lay out on you.
So stupid.
The poo water. How old are you? Well, now you know why they don't need adult stuff in cartoons.
But I wasn't laughing because it was funny. I'm laughing because I was so confused. And just like, we're like an hour and 10 minutes into this film at this point. And
you're getting delusional.
Jokes,
that's what it is.
It was just, I don't know what he said.
You're getting delusional on the poo water. Oh no, poo water. Poo water here. Let's go to Arby's. All right, well, I'm sorry. What was that? I'll wait.
Oh, I need a minute.
Huh? Oh no, I'm leaving this all in. Like.
Sorry, everyone. Just need a short intermission.
I'm sure the other people who are laughing and slapping their elbows and knees at the poo water don't even have to pause the show right now, because they're not. They're like, "What I miss? What I miss? Nothing." It's Lucy broke
went all puffy.
Lucy broke a funny fuse over the poo water joke.
I was fine, and then you did your impression of him.
Oh no, the poo water.
Yeah, that's God.
That's the understated putty reference in there. Jesus. Okay.
My eyes are so puffy. Okay, I apologize for that, everybody.
There you go. All right.
The
well,
next line I have is so stupid.
Okay, what is it? Because mine's pretty stupid too, but what's yours? Let's see if we can. The new funny fuse has been put in. Let's see if we can blow it again.
It's when Vanessa Bloom says.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Oh my God. We have officially broken. Way to go, Hal. The goddamn B movie has broken Lucy's brain in a fun. Lucy is dying laughing, and I'm about to be hanging from my ceiling. That's what this movie has done to us.
Oh my God. I'm crying.
What?
I don't know what I got so much.
All right, so you said, but
you go. I'm gonna.
You said, but okay, we'll come back to Vanessa's hysterical line. But if that poo line was so funny and humorous, next thing on here is we get back in the courtroom and the lawyer decides to do some character assassination, and Adam the Bee stinks him right in his big old country butt. And then John Goodman, this goes on for like 90 seconds of him throwing himself around the courtroom, talking about, oh, my butt is swelling up, and it just kept fucking going. It's like, oh, is this John Goodman vamping? Like in there, did they write all this out for him? Because it just kept going on. I was like, no, okay, well, we'll wait.
It wasn't comfortably long, just like me laughing there at a food joke.
Yeah, but that was funny. The John Goodman stuff was just like me checking my watch. And
what, you know, I couldn't believe was this, like throughout the film, like two or three times, they've made a point of bees don't just sting people, right? Because they know
they
you
might
die.
Yeah.
You die. Pretty much, you're definitely going to die. And then he just like takes no time at all. He's going to sacrifice himself to kill this guy. And it's like, Jesus Christ. It went dark all of a sudden.
Yeah, he was held back a little bit, so he had time to even think about it.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Yeah, then he just goes in and just like, yeah, this most just milquetoast dude, this yeah, this B. Ferris Bueller in there is like, yeah, I'm going to go fucking sting this fat ass lawyer, this fat ass country lawyer, this guy that came
with the
fucking
good of the bees.
Yeah, the Scopes monkey trial, Clarence Darrow here to do it. Did you remember the line from Vanessa?
I remember it. It's written here. I just couldn't read it.
What is it?
She goes, he happens to be the nicest bee I've met in a long time.
Yeah, okay.
And I immediately wrote, in a long time. And then I was so happy when Ken was like, what the fuck do you mean by that?
Okay, I'll admit, that got me, that got a half, maybe a quarter of a chortle that
Did
got out.
Did you just like exhale?
No,
like,
no, I perked up too. Like, wait, a long time. Like, does she have a backstory? Is that why she's not going too crazy? Does this bee remind her of her ex, of a previous
lover
bee that she has boned?
I think we need a Vanessa Bloom origin story ASAP.
No. No. And also, like, the pollen going everywhere, too. I'm like, was that sexual also?
I'm not
that
sure.
Me? No, it was, oh, no. Right? It was, right? Anybody? No, okay. All right.
Okay.
No. Hey, at least I didn't make a honey is a bee cum joke. I mean, that was obvious, right? That was low-hanging fruit. Nobody, who would say that?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm trying not
I wouldn't.
Not to lose myself again. Yeah.
All right, so.
Oh, my God.
Just when I think I'm over it, and it's like, okay, the bee, Adam did it, all right. All right, they're in a hospital. Okay, I'm fine. The chair is wobbling. The chair is wobbling because this bee's in a fucking hospital, and he's got an IV. And Adam the
an
bee.
An IV.
Okay, now in real life, I'm about to go grab a. Or my gun is now up here ready. You're right. They should have been. It's a honey IV. He's on a honey IV, and I jump to the sweet embrace of death. But unfortunately, the rope broke, and I have to stay in the misery of B movie.
Jesus, this is really dark.
The movie, I know, it's really fucking.
This whole episode. Oh, I mean,
yeah, it did. This is the things that happen. So, yeah, now you're like having a fit on your floor laughing to death. And I'm got a noose and a broken fan around me like Frank and Always
Oh my
Sunny.
God.
Oh my god.
It just took it down. What was that noise? Yeah. All right. So all seems lost, right? And just like the Lord of the Rings, it was in that moment when all hope was lost. When mm-hmm. Barry remembers the smoker and brings the smoker into the courtroom. And we get, of all the uncomfortable lines in this movie, we get one that I just was like, no, 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 no. Honey, slaves to the white man. And I was like, no, B movie. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no. No, thank you. I don't want that.
No. And then like the one black guy in the movie is one of the lawyers who then scooches over to the side.
To get away from
the film. And I might have had a...
like exhale, like...
No, 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 no. No B movie. No. You do not get honey, slaves to the white man in your stupid talking B movie.
This is where I have written, there is still 28 minutes of this film to go. What?
There's still 28 minutes, but there is enough time to now, if you thought, and this is again where my brain was going, if you thought the earlier bit was a critique of the capitalist nature of everything, now the bees shut down all honey production and they start chilling. And because her dirt, you know, nobody wants to work under that. Nobody wants to work under that. Her to shut up talking bee. Because I guess that's just what it would be, because nobody wants to work now. So we've critiqued capitalism. Here's life under socialism. Nobody works and then nothing gets done. Shut up.
Yeah, this is where the film really just kind of goes off the rails for me. And also, I didn't understand the bears in this film. We haven't talked about the bears. The bears are catching so many strays in this film. I don't understand why.
Okay, the IB was a honey mm-hmm. bear. A big thing over here, the big company, the bottle is a bear.
Okay.
Bears love honey. Winnie the Pooh.
So, yeah, Winnie the Pooh was in this film, right?
Well, the name. They said the name in there, yeah.
Okay. I thought I saw him getting, like, arrested or something.
Now you can put Winnie the Pooh in anything you want, because it's in the public domain, along with Steamboat Mickey.
2007, which, it was not, right?
Yeah, I have been on the lookout for Steamboat Mickey. Whoa. Okay, I almost said that in a weird, weird way. I've been on the lookout not to accidentally run into Steamboat Mickey porn.
Oh.
Because of, like, it's in the public domain. So you have to just, yeah, whoever that is. That's a producer talking there, by the way. Because now they can put it into anything. So you have to look out for it.
I have seen somebody's developing a game with that whole look of Steamboat Mickey.
Yeah, it very much, the game Cuphead was very much like that 1920s like animation. So now they can do Steamboat Mickey in a Cuphead DLC.
Oh.
Yeah. Like they made that Winnie the Pooh horror movie, that Blood and Honey.
I didn't see that.
Okay, they did that, and like the first, and now everyone's just like, okay, when's the Steamboat Mickey like horror movie?
Horror film, yeah.
Because it's just the easiest way to do shit like that. And our producer in there that was just speaking in there, I guess, is on the lookout for, you know, like they have the Simpsons and the Family Guy, those images, you know, yeah. Yeah.
God.
I just got my happy birthday notification from DeviantArt.
Your birthday's months away.
Sorry, my anniversary.
Oh, okay. My bad.
And I literally saw that and I'm like, why the fuck am I getting an email from DeviantArt? The reason is, I feel like now that might have gotten people off guard. The reason is because online handle The Fox Bride.
Mm.
I want Fox Bride. I don't want the anymore.
You want to just be Fox Bride.
The person who had the Twitch channel, who wasn't on there for years, the only info I could find on them was a page to DeviantArt. And I don't know what that says about people with Fox names or Fox Bride, anything like that. So I had to make a DeviantArt account.
To message them
to be like, hey, can I have, you know, blah, 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 blah. They, of course, didn't respond because they've disappeared off the face of the earth. Because
you just need to report their account then.
Can you? Well, that, I guess I don't give a shit anymore if it can't sit in that. You're right.
Report their account and just say that
everybody out there, please.
Mocking or impersonating you.
There you go. Everyone out there, report Fox Bride Twitch. Not the. That's me. Do Fox Bride's Twitch. And then we'll see. Or if anybody can get it, I'll gladly do something in there. I'll do another viewer request month if anybody's request
on Twitch.
No, up here, I'll volunteer that for us, and then I'll owe Lucy for one. In there, yeah. So they shut down the production. Weird San Antonio city name drop.
Was there?
They said the uncle. Yeah, the uncle went off with some.
Oh, yeah.
Bluesy B, I guess, to San Antonio.
Yeah, strange. Is there any kind of relevance to that?
No, a good listener, Bishop, good old patron Bishop is from San Antonio.
So, oh.
Yeah. The Alamo, the Riverwalk. I think it's like 5 miles, 5 miles, 5 hours from me. So, yeah, very weird just to throw in San Antonio. You never really hear that. It's always Dallas, Austin, or Houston.
Maybe someone's from there.
Yeah.
Like someone in the film, maybe they're from there.
I'm sure that was probably like, hey, what's the dumbest yokel like town that we could do? And someone's like, San Antonio. Like, it's one of the top 10 biggest cities in the country, I think. So, maybe not. I don't know. I know it's in, I think it is one of the top 10. All right. So, yeah, no one's going to work, talking bees, blah, blah, blah. So now we get this grand plan of the Tournament of Roses. That was the actual logo for the Tournament of Roses, a real thing.
Oh, really?
Yes. The Tournament of Roses, it happened yesterday, January 1st. It always corresponds to the first day of the year. I think I say so where it is January 2nd when New Year's Day is on a Sunday. But right. The Rose Bowl game is played. It was played yesterday again. It was a semi-part of the semifinal college football, one of the biggest bowl games of the year for college football. And that was the actual thing. It's just, well, I guess they might as well just take the money to be able to use it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, yeah, it was really, is it like a flower show?
It floats, yeah. It's just the Tournament of Roses. It's a floats. It's a New Year's Day parade.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're going to
make... Did we miss the part where Vanessa and... the bee make it like talk about making a pact together,
the suicide pact?
That completely threw me off guard.
Yeah, it did.
This is a children's film.
Hey, remember Home Alone? The funniest line from Home Alone is when they look out the window and Marv goes, "You think he committed suicide?"
Oh my god, yes.
When they couldn't find him, I'm like, yes, I like this style of humor. This is what we did back then. Now you can't do that in a PG movie anymore. Sensitive ass kids.
No, of course not. You can't have a bee turn to his human girlfriend and say, How about a suicide pact? What the fuck? I didn't like that.
Yeah, I instantly took a picture of that and sent it to about a dozen people. I did put it in the Discord, and I will absolutely be putting our pictures over it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we may be putting that out there, yeah, to be like, to do this movie again. to talk about this movie, it's just like, should we do a suicide pact in there? No.
Yeah, the podcast's over, guys. Sorry.
It's dark humor. It's what I've been doing here. Like I said, the image people have had of me this whole episode is me now on the floor with a noose around my neck from a broken thing from me doing it. And I may not be done. Yeah. So anyway, they're going to head out to the Tournament of Roses, which of course is in Los Angeles, all the way across the country. They get on the airplane and Barry knocks at the door to the cockpit. And I've withheld long enough, okay? 6 years after 9/11, you would not be able to open the fucking door to a cockpit. I think even to today, they're like sealed shut. Yeah. Can't open the fucking door. Asking about Sky Mall. I can't.
Especially if you're a bee.
You're a fucking bee. But you can't tell because it's English with a New York Jewish accent or something like that. We're just like, that bee sounds like Jerry Seinfeld out there.
Let him in.
They open it up. He goes in there and I'm at my wit's end. I don't even have the will to get up and do anything off the floor anymore.
I'm just done.
The will to live is slowly leaving my body.
Do you know what I noticed in this scene?
What?
That they have reused animations from The Incredibles.
No way. Wait,
yes,
how? They can't do that. It's a different.
It's the same movement. So,
oh, like it
the
just
same movement.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, it's the same shot, like the same, but they've obviously repainted it to be Vanessa. But I haven't Googled this. Well, I Googled it and I saw that they reused stuff, but I haven't got the exact scene.
Really?
But I will put money on when Vanessa comes into the cockpit and takes her seat in the plane to drive it. I would put money on that is the same, bones of the scene when Mrs. Incredible takes her seat to try and stop that plane from crashing. I'm so sure that that's the same thing.
Wow. Because that would have been Pixar before. I guess they just bought it from them.
I don't know, but it was, I was so like, that's where Mrs. Incredible takes the plane. Like, that's exactly the same. Yeah. It was so weird. I'm going to Google it after and we can just cut that bit out if I'm wrong.
Never seen it. Never seen Incredibles.
Really? Oh, I really like the Incredibles.
I've seen Incredibles too, because apparently I was told that Mrs. Incredible has a fat ass in it.
She does. Oh, I mean, in the Incredibles as well. She is like thick.
Interesting. No, that's why I watched Incredibles too.
She's in Incredibles 1 too. One also, I think.
Yeah, but does she have a big ass? Like,
yeah. Maybe it gets bigger in Incredibles 2. I don't know. I don't think I saw the
it
second one.
It got memed in the second one, though, where she, the mirror or something like that, where she turns around. I was like, oh, what have I been missing out on?
Yeah, Mrs. Incredible. Damn.
There you go. There you go. Who needs bees when I can lick it? So, right as I've lost the will to live, she flying the fucking plane?
Yeah, she lands the plane by copying. Oh, sorry, no. The army of bees come and lift the plane up from crashing. Yeah. And they help her land it.
Yeah, I've got that in there because that was the next thing in all caps was no, these fucking bees are not going to guide a 747. And of course, they fucking do.
Yeah.
And they land it and all that bullshit. And they get this pollen from the flowers and they all decide together they're going to pollinate like the rest of the world because the world's fucking dying. And because this movie has the attention span of me coked up and snorting Adderall at 4 a.m. in Vegas, the flowers instantly respond to the pollen. And when I look up, there's a cow crying and a blood-sucking parasite lawyer joke.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I have entered a zen-like state of being where nothing of construct matters anymore.
Yes, the cow wants rights. And obviously, Barry sets up his own law firm to help other animals sue the human race.
With the lamest lawyer joke possible.
What was it?
The blood sucking. He's a mosquito. He's a blood sucking lawyer. I know. Which kind of goes from Jurassic Park, one of the greatest movies ever, and Spielberg. Maybe Spielberg just doesn't like lawyers in there. Yeah. The RIP to
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. There you go. He fired her. He got her fired.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going to say RIP to her career for like a decade because he fired her.
Oh my God, she's thriving.
Yeah, she's doing well. And she was back in the Ninja Turtles movies. So we talked about it. He's produced those. Or Michael Bay produced those. So she'll never be anything Spielberg again, but I think she'll be fine. I think she'll be fine. All right. Are we done? Is the movie over yet?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. The movie ends. And for the rest of today, I still have about maybe 45 minutes of daylight. I'm going to go grab a baseball bat and bash as many beehives as I can.
Don't take it out on the bees.
The movie Catwoman almost made me dislike cats and make me a cat guy anymore. I don't like this movie. Is just really, you're supposed to watch animated movies and love like what it's about. Like fucking Wall-E is just like, I want a pet cockroach. Ratatouille, it's like, I want a pet Ratatouille. I want a rat to cook me food. They're not disgusting disease carriers. And after this, it's just like the next BIC is fucking dead.
No, I love bumblebees.
Fucking Barry B. Benson. Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to watch the movie Bumblebee.
Yeah, I would like to see that, actually.
All right, that is B-movie.
That's going to do it.
That's going to do it. All right, D&D classes. The first thing we're going to do in here is a D&D classes. We just have Barry on there, and all I have on there is Jackass, because I wanted to stop thinking about this movie as soon as those credits rolled. What would he be?
I actually don't know.
I don't know either, and I don't even...
I guess maybe a bard.
Sure.
If he's inspiring the bee people.
Fine. He's a bard.
That's it.
I don't want to talk about this movie anymore. But unfortunately, we have to do our tier list ratings.
Yes, we do.
And usually I try to give a well-constructed, you know, not review of it, but reasoning for my tier rating. This movie's a D. It sucks. It's fucking terrible. Fuck you, Hal. All right, your turn.
Hal, I appreciate the suggestion. I think you got exactly what you wanted from Bad Movie Month. I did not enjoy this film. I wouldn't want to watch it again to make fun of. I wouldn't enjoy it with drinks. I found it to be incredibly strange. And I would also put it into the D tier.
Bad movie month, starting off with two D's. So yes, mission accomplished in there.
Good job, guys.
And we're only half kidding there. Again, thank you, Hal, for the suggestion. And
yes, and a great voice note as well. Yeah,
I will honestly maybe go watch a lot of Seinfeld to flush this out. Yeah, so stay tuned here after the intro. And we'll talk about, oh my God, where Bad Movie Month leads us next week. But first, again, email us podonthepath@gmail.com. Check out the patreon.com/onthepath. Catwoman is a movie this month. Sometimes we do good movies. Sometimes we do bad movies on there. We did Die Hard last month.
That was so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of good stuff on there. I did see, oh fuck, I forgot. I did see we're up to 20-something shows on there. So it's a good, it's over 100 hours already. It's only $5 a month. Very, very good value to hear us blab on a little bit more. Check out the Discord, all the other links below. Lucy, where can we find you?
Oh, you'll find me at Lucy J. Robin, all over social media, playing games, talking about films, all that fun stuff.
There you go. You find me mainly on Discord. Go report Fox Bride on Twitch, not the Fox Bride, and then I can have that again next month. Bad movie request month continues on with Dungeons and Dragons 2000,
which I did not know existed.
I remember it because I love Marlon Wayans and I love Jeremy Irons and they're in it. So yes, and we will also have special guest,
yay,
back on Tracy Miss Magitek, who, if you're like, yeah, that name sounds familiar, she joined me back in the summer when Lucy was on vacation, where we did the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie. So yes, she's a D&D expert, plays all the time. I think she said that she hadn't seen the movie either. So this is going to be a first time watch for everybody. It is one that I remember when I was younger, it being legendarily bad, that it is poorly made. The acting is Jeremy Irons. He has to be hamming it up like crazy. Marlon Wayans looks like he's playing Marlon Wayans in a medieval fantasy role. So I am not excited to watch it. That's why I'm going to wait a few days to cleanse out Catwoman and B movie. So yes, join us next week. D&D 2000. Bye, 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 bye.
See you then.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah.